Extend greetings to you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon this time together as we meet, Lord, to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you for you all again that you do for us. Fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom. Help us have ears to hear your word. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Appreciated the boys' lessons this morning, the lesson and what the boys had to share about the parables. Goes along with what I was thinking about, just as a foundation. It's a picture of what I was thinking about. It's a picture of God's sovereignty. There's been a question throughout history, arguments about God's sovereignty, whether man would have free will, and how could God be sovereign with man making his own decisions, like that would take away from God's sovereignty. But it shows that the God's sovereignty is much greater than what a man chooses. In our creation, the very heart of our creation, God could have created robots. Even in the angels, he gave the angels an ability to choose for themselves. Allowing someone to make their own choices is the ultimate act of sovereignty. We think of a sovereign as someone that just rules with an iron fist and has control over every situation. But the real sovereignty, a true sovereignty, is bigger than someone else's decisions that are made. They're able to be in control of everything, even when the others are a lower of people, like in God's case, makes decisions that are even against what the sovereign Lord would want. He's big enough to allow someone to make a decision even against him. That is true sovereignty. That is true greatness. The blessing is that we have that choice to be united with his sovereignty. That we can receive the blessings that go along with that. But his sovereignty allows for us to do whatever we want to do. That's the thing about freedom. Freedom, when you give someone freedom, you're giving them the choice to even choose against you. But to truly be sovereign, you have to allow them that choice. In the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, we'll read there a little bit. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than all the wild animals the Lord God made on earth." Right here, the Lord created the serpent. And this serpent had taken the gift that God had given him and turned it against God himself. The Bible says in Romans chapter 11, it says the gifts of God are without repentance. You see, true sovereignty is able to give something and then allow the person who receives that to use it however they see fit, for good or evil. That's why giving something as a gift and then trying to dictate how someone would use it is not a gift at all. You're just hiring them as a servant to carry out what you give them for them, for your benefit. In other words, if I give somebody something and then I dictate how they're to use that, they're my servant because I'm still in control of all of it. But if I give them something and then they use it how I would like them to be used, what a blessing. But it's a gift. It is theirs to use however they want to use it, whether good or evil. But when I give it, I'm done with it. That's how God gives His gifts. He gives gifts and He gives power to people. And then the choice is no longer His. He's given it. The choice is up to you. The parables that we read about this morning about the wheat and the tares. God planted good things in the earth. But then evil men came along and planted tares. Because God is sovereign and big enough to allow someone to make a choice to give what to take what He's given them and turn it to evil, it happens. Some people think, well, there's sickness in the world, there's death in the world, there's problems in the world. It must be God's fault. The serpent is more subtle than all the beasts of the field. He loves to take something and just turn it all and twist it all around and make it God's fault. God's plan is for man to serve Him and to love one another, to be a blessing on this earth. But His sovereignty allows men to make that choice. And by making that choice, that man can cause people to suffer. That man can cause pain. And it's not God's fault. God could be a robot, or God could have made robots. He could be manipulating every situation and every circumstance to where it just works out the way He wants it to. But His goodness and His sovereignty allows it to work out. And it will work out to His good. Even the evil in the world will be found to show the goodness will prevail. The song we sang, Almighty Maker of My Frame. Almighty Sovereign of the Skies, to Thee let songs of gladness rise. Remember that we have a Creator, and He created us for His purpose. Remember that He gave us a choice to choose good or evil. That gift that God has given us, that power that God has given us, is ours to use for good or for evil. We can sow wheat or we can sow tares. Genesis 3 again. And God said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees of the garden, but from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not die by death. For God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, she and pleasant to the eyes, and a tree beautiful to contemplate, she took its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of the two were opened, and they knew they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. There's a lot in all of this. What I want to notice is that the first six verses of this was all dealing with the woman. And the woman talking with Satan or the serpent. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree beautiful to contemplate, she took its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband. With her. And he ate. And then it says, then their eyes were opened. The woman was not doing what she was supposed to here. But it wasn't until the man ate of it that their eyes were opened. They were living in innocence. The woman took it upon herself to do all this planning, all this talking with the devil, all this observing to see the goodness of the apple or the goodness of the fruit, that it was good. And in her own mind had come up with the idea that this was a beautiful thing to contemplate. And then she gave it to her husband. Then their eyes were opened. And they saw their condition. God gave the will to man and to woman. The woman had this power. She was able to talk to the serpent. She was able to contemplate. She was able to think for herself. She was able to do anything in this world that she wanted to do. And she took that power, took it upon herself, which she had the power to do, the free will to do, and gave it to her husband. That's where humanity died. That's where sin entered into the world. That's where death entered into the world. That's where pain entered into the world. That's where suffering entered into the world. That's where every evil thing entered into this world. And if you know me at all, I am all about foundations. You build the right foundation, and I don't care what you build on that foundation. You'll have something worth building on. I tell people, if you'll learn the basic foundations of responsibility and work and good ethics, that you can go out and do anything and be successful at it. If you learn those basic foundations. Foundations. Jesus talks about them. To build our house on a foundation, a rock, and not build it on the sand. How many beautiful castles are there built on sand that will all fall down? And how many just common little buildings will stand because they're built on a foundation? That's rock, that's stone. Whenever we start talking about our existence as man and woman, as human beings in this world, we need to understand foundation of our existence. I love history. Because when you look back at history, you can see people who have learned and grown and who have built foundations and what they built on and how you can build on that and build on that and build on that. And you can also look at failures, things that didn't work, and they people try them over and over and over again. And if they would just look a little at history and foundations, they could see and make a correction and have somewhere to go from there. And they could correct the mistakes that have been made in the past. They could see that they didn't work and begin to build a foundation that they can build on. When you and I start looking at what it takes to really be right with God, we have to look at what it really took for man not to be right with God. At the foundation. And we see at that foundation that man has power. That woman has power. That we have a will to choose our way or God's way. And as we choose our way, we're building something. But it's built on a foundation of sand. You know, we all have rights as human beings. And they're given by God. We all have power as human beings. And it's given by God. God gave Eve the power. And it was up to her how she chose it. God gave Adam the power. And Adam listened to his wife instead of God. God's sovereignty was so great and so powerful and so sovereign that he could give a lesser being power. And then have the sovereignty not to let it destroy him. Even though the choices that were made were against him, were wrong, he was bigger than the choices that the person under him was making. It was only when Adam chose by his own power and by his own will to give ear to his wife that all humanity collapsed as God would have had it in the beginning. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 11. First Corinthians 11, it says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." Here Paul said, "Imitate me, just like I imitate Christ." I don't think that meant that if I wear a red shirt, you go out and wear a red shirt. That if I wear blue shoes, that you ought to wear blue shoes. That's not the imitation that he was talking about. Not the outer appearance of imitation. What Paul was saying is imitate the character, the foundation of who God is, like I do. That may look different a little bit on you, but that inner foundation that's built on God and who God is and God's sovereignty and His ability to give power away Jesus didn't come to this earth declaring that He was God and everybody should serve Him. He told truths. And He allowed people to make those choices for themselves, even to the point of one of His own followers betraying Him and selling Him to death. That's sovereignty. That's real power. Though someone would destroy the flesh and take everything away of your life, still having sovereignty over your own life. Though there's pressure and power from every side trying to corrupt you, having the sovereignty to walk right through this world and not let it corrupt you. Verse 2, so now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. Here's the sovereignty that God is the head of Christ. Christ was in this earth with authority over Him. Christ yielded His will to God, even to death. In the garden, before they came and took Him away, His prayer that He prayed with till drops of blood, such agony, such stress in the mind, was over my will or God's will? My will or God's will? Jesus won the victory when He said, "Not what I want, but what You want, God. Not my will, but Thine be done." That's when God, the sovereign God, had given a man power. And that's when that power was released to do God's will instead of choosing His own. That's when Jesus, the cross wasn't where Jesus won the battle. The cross, or the battle was won of the cross. The cross was defeated the night before in the battle of Jesus' will or God's will. Jesus yielded His will to God. And it was a struggle. The temptations and the pressure for Him to take that power that God had given to a man and turn that away from God and choose His own way was real. Did that make Jesus weak because He yielded His power to a higher authority? Absolutely not. That was the crown of His own power and His own strength. That was the crown that helped Him overcome this world. He could have said, "I'm independent, I can make my own decisions. I'll do my own thing. I don't have to listen to anybody." But He didn't. That would have appeared like, "Wow, He's a courageous man." But He yielded His power to God, which took thousands of times more courage than just to stubbornly do His own thing. It released Him. It freed Him from all the bondages of the world because He yielded His will to God's will. This is Jesus. our Creator, submitting himself to God. I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man. So if being an imitator of God, like Paul talked about, I imitate Christ, he said. What was he imitating? He was imitating his surrendered will to Christ. And that's what he begs us to imitate. Just like him. It wasn't the kind of clothes he wore. It was that surrendered will that he was talking about imitating. That as Christ submitted himself to God, that man needs to submit himself to Christ. Does that make you less of a man when you submit your will to Christ? No, that makes you a man. You're not a man until you do that. No matter how big and strong you are. No matter how well educated you are. No matter how tough you are, if your will is not submitted to Christ's will, you are not a man. You're less than a man. You're a rebel. A man that was created in God's image was created to serve God, and that's all. No matter what you may accomplish, if that will isn't surrendered to Christ, you're nothing. And in the same way that Christ submitted to God, man is to submit to Christ, woman is to submit to the man. Oh, that ain't fair. That's not right. I'm smarter than he is. I can get things done better than he does. I am woman, hear me roar. I have power, I have strength. But just like a man that's not submitted to God is not a man, neither is a woman that's not submitted to her husband a woman. It's some kind of strange deformity, strange thing that doesn't belong in God's planet. But yet he's big enough and strong enough to allow it to be. He has given woman the power to make her own choice. Whether to continue to be her own person, her own creature, her own thing, her own creation, which is not what God wanted her to be in the first place, which is just as out of order as the devil. Or she can be a woman created in God's image for that purpose. And it all revolves around where the will is surrendered to. Verse 4 says, every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying disgraces his head. But every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying disgraces her head, for she is one and the same as a woman whose head is shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, let her also have her head hair cut off. But if it is disgraceful for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, let her cover her head. For a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. verse 8 says, "For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man." Man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. Fair? Not fair? Who cares? God put Adam to sleep, and he took a rib from his body and created the woman out of it. This is God's creation. That he created a man, and he took from the man and created a helper for the man. The only way you're going to be a part of God's kingdom, or at all pleasing to God, or a woman in God's eyes, is whenever you recognize that the man didn't come from me, I came from the man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. Was man created for your benefit, woman? Was man created for you? Was man created just for you to listen to? No. The woman was created for the man. The quicker we realize foundations of where we came from in creation, that's the only way we can be what God created us to be in the first place. We can fight against that. We can kick against it. We can do whatever we want to. We can have it all planned out and make all the choices we want. We can have it all thought out. We can think that we're getting somewhere in this world. We can climb the highest pinnacles. But if we miss what God created for us in the beginning, we have missed it all. Missed it all. The woman was created for the sake of the man. How many projects, women, do you have that the purpose of that project is for your own doing, your own devices, and that you expect the man just to help you carry out your plan? Does that fit? Women need to get their head wrapped around the plan of their husband. It's just that simple. Women need to get their head wrapped around the plan of their husband. Jesus had to get his head wrapped around the plan of God. Man has to get his head wrapped around the plan of Christ. We are not our own. And life is not about me carrying out my plan. It's about me carrying out somebody else's. And just like Jesus had to get his plan in line with God's, man has to get his plan in line with Christ. Woman has to get her plan in line with her husband's. That's really pretty simple. That's really pretty simple. That's what the covering is all about. It's showing that my plan is wrapped up in my husband's plan. My husband's plan is wrapped up in Jesus' plan. And Jesus' plan is wrapped up in God's plan. That's when God is God, the sovereign God. Jesus is the Savior. Man is a man and woman is a woman. Otherwise, no matter what it appears on the outside, it's a perversion. It's a big old one-eyed cyclops with long, great old big ears. One arm short and one arm long. 4 feet instead of three, or two. 3 feet instead of two. Corrupted. We see deformities that happen sometimes. And sometimes it's repulsive to us. Because it's a deformity of what it was supposed to be. It's not a normal human. Some people don't have a nose. Some people don't have ears. It's not their fault. We have compassion. Some people are sick. Some people are healthy. But we recognize those deformities or those sicknesses as something that doesn't belong. As normal. The reason those things are not right is because it's not normal. We each have to learn that whatever we're given is a gift from God, a sovereignty from God, and we just take it and we learn to submit ourselves in whatever condition we're in. But when we begin to think that it's normal for something that's completely deformed, it's not normal. That's not the normal. And while we see that deformity with our eyes and with our flesh, we notice that if we're not in God's will, we're as deformed as anything on this planet. Any human being that's ever been born on this planet. People who are not in God's will are deformed. Then it may not look like it. They may look like they have it all together. But God sees a gross deformity. And His plan of salvation is for us to return to God's will. Like Christ returned to God's will. Like man is to return to God's will, Christ's will, and the woman to return to the man's will. If we forget that we were created, we would scoff at the idea of crawling out of an old nasty bowl of soup and growing a tail and being a monkey for a while. And then all of a sudden just turned into a human being over years and years of evolution. We would scoff at that idea. We say we're created. But we forget that we were created for a purpose. And it's laid out very easily. And if we can't gain this simple purpose of our creation, how in the world do you think we're going to be redeemed if we can't even understand the basic principles of creation? this hope that God's just going to take us the way we are. But His plan is to call men to return to what we were created to be. All the things in the Bible, the instructions, how to live, are just pointing us to return to the way He wants us to be. And to reflect that to the world. If we're reflecting our own independence, our own ideas, that's what we're reflecting, a deformity to the world. May the Lord add His blessings.
No.